Good morning. This morning we are continuing in our series called Famous Last Words, and we are exploring the last words that Jesus spoke before he went to the cross and was crucified and rose again, which we will celebrate once again this year at Easter time. So this is a great preparation. This series is great preparation for Easter, which will be upon us shortly. And so this morning, as we continue in our series, Famous Last Words, we'll be in John chapter 15 this morning. But before we get into the text, I just wanted to start by making an observation about just really human nature and history and human history and just how we act as people. Because one of the things that I found over the years and as I've studied is that when you think about people, whether it's at a small scale, like a classroom or school, or whether it's like big scale culture, like a country, there's something that I think is often true and has been proven true throughout history, and that is simply this, that being different is dangerous. If you are different, if you have different views, if you look different, if you act different than the predominant culture, it can be dangerous. Let me share a few things to explain what I mean. So as many of us know, especially those of us that has kids, that recently there was anti-bullying day at school. And so at anti-bullying day, those of you that are still in school, tell me, what color of shirt are you supposed to wear? Pink, right? You're supposed to wear a pink shirt. And I don't know how many of us maybe know the story, maybe some of us, maybe a lot of us, I don't know. But the story of why we wear pink shirts is this, that once in the States, I believe, I can't remember exactly where it was, but there was a young man, and he came to school wearing a pink shirt, and he was bullied. And so several people in the school started spreading it throughout the school that everyone the next day was going to come to school wearing a pink shirt in solidarity behind this boy who was bullied for wearing a pink shirt. And so that's how this whole wearing a pink shirt towards anti-bullying started. And it's a great thing to stand up and say that bullying is wrong, which I think we would all affirm and agree with, but there's something interesting that has happened over the years as kids have come to school wearing pink shirts in support of anti-bullying, and that is that the kids that come to school who don't wear pink shirts, in some cases, have began to be bullied. I mean, crazy, right? But this is how much this is a part of human culture and human nature, that we tend to look down on people that are different. So much so that when we're supposed to be doing anti-bullying, that we bully the kids that aren't on board with what we're doing for anti-bullying. I mean, you can't write this stuff. But it's crazy. But this is the reality, that no matter what the case is, whether it's a small school setting like a school or classroom, or whether we're talking about culture as a whole, being different is dangerous. I mean, that's why we have things like racism, isn't it? Because really, what is racism? It's simply looking down on a race that is not like you. And that the dominant race in a society looks down on races that are minorities. That's really essentially where racism happens. And racism has been responsible for all kinds of atrocities. I mean, you think of what happened in Rwanda, where there was mass genocide simply because one people group thought that the other people group was expendable because they were different. Crazy. I mean, you look at what happened to the Jews during Nazi Germany. I mean, what crime did they commit other than being Jewish? And yet, they were singled out. And all kinds of atrocities happened to them. Why? Because they were different. They didn't fit in to the culture of that day, the dominant culture. And so we find, whether it's on small scale or big scale, that in culture, if you don't fit with the dominant way of thinking and the dominant way of living out your life in a culture, if somehow you stand out, you are probably going to face some hardship of some kind. Whether it be small or great, you are probably going to face some sort of hardship. And Jesus, being the wise man that he was and is, he knew this. And so this is what he is preparing his followers for in this passage. He's preparing them for the fact that if they live out the teachings that he taught and they follow the ways that he lived, that they are going to be different compared to the dominant culture of their day, and they are going to have to suffer for it. They are going to have to suffer for it. And so that's what Jesus is saying, because Jesus, remember, we're in the series called Last Words, famous last words, and this is leading up to Jesus' death. So Jesus is about to be killed because his way of thinking and teaching was different than what the Jewish religious leaders of that day said was the right way of doing things and the right way of teaching. And because they thought it was such a threat to their way of life and their power source, they were actually actively looking for ways to kill him. And as we'll see, eventually Jesus was killed. They had him executed because his different ideas were too dangerous to the status quo of their culture of that day. And so Jesus knows he's about to face this, and he knows that after this happens, that his followers are going to have to face similar things. And so he says these words to prepare them for this. So if you have your Bible with you this morning, you can turn to John chapter 15. If not, you're free to look it up on your phone, or it will be on the screen behind me here. And this is what it says in John chapter 15. We'll start in verse 18 this morning. Jesus says, "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to this world, if you belong to the culture, the dominant culture of the day with the Roman Empire, if you belong to that, if you belong to the Jewish subculture of that, it would love you as its own because you'd be one of them. As it is, you do not belong to the world. You're not a part of it. But I've chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you." Jesus is saying the world is, or the culture that you're in is going to hate you because you aren't going to fit if you live according to the values that I've taught you. See, Jesus has taught his followers that their primary citizenship, their primary allegiance doesn't lie in the Roman Empire. It doesn't lie with the Jewish subculture that is within that Roman Empire. It lies in the kingdom of God. That's what they're citizens of. That's where their allegiance is. And Jesus is saying, if you live according to kingdom values, that is going to rub up against the values of the culture that you're in. And you're not going to be popular. You're not going to be popular when you do this. Jesus is saying, if you follow me, you'll be different. Followers of Jesus will be different. They have throughout the history of Christianity, in different ways, in different cultures, looked different than the dominant culture of that day and age. Followers of Jesus will be different. And as we were previously speaking of, being different is dangerous. Being different is dangerous. It will lead to all kinds of different hardships if you're different, if you stand out. And we'll see as Jesus continues, he says, "Remember, I told you," in verse 20, "a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you." And if we look at history, we'll find that Jesus' prediction is very, very true. If you go and you read the book of Acts in the Bible, it is filled with the followers of Jesus facing all kinds of hardship, being thrown in jail, being beaten, being executed. Why? Because they had a different philosophy on life. They lived differently than the culture, and they didn't like it. The culture of that day thought it was a threat to their way. And so they were persecuted. In fact, most of the followers of Jesus who would have been sitting there and listening, especially his closest disciples, were later killed for their faith, martyred. So they very much were persecuted and very much were hated. I mean, you have to hate someone a fair amount to decide to kill them just because they're different and think different than you. But this is indeed what is about to happen to the followers of Jesus in that day and age. And so Jesus is preparing them to face this kind of level of persecution. So, what does this mean for us? Well, if you're going to follow Jesus, you can expect it to be hard sometimes. You can expect that it's going to rub up against what our culture holds to be true and right and the right way to live and be. That sometimes those two, the kingdom of God and our culture, are going to bump up against one another too. And as followers of Jesus, we're going to have to choose. Do we choose the kingdom values of Jesus, or do we choose the values of our culture of our day and age? And sometimes they'll line up and that'll be great, but other times they're not going to line up and they're going to be at odds with one another. And when that happens, it's going to be hard to be a follower of Jesus. And we don't face the type of persecution that Jesus' followers of those days faced. But there are people in the world today that do. There are people in the world just for saying that, yeah, I follow Jesus, could be executed because in their country, it's illegal. They could not have open meetings like this. If they wanted to meet together, it would be in hiding. It would be in secret. There wouldn't be meeting with hundreds of people in a room openly discussing the Bible. That would not happen. And if it did happen, it would probably not end in a very good way. But even in our culture, even in Canada, where there's freedom of religion, we still sometimes are going to face difficulties. And we may face friends who don't get it, who don't understand why we don't join with them in certain behaviors, in certain ways of living. And so you are going to face some kind of hardship. Now, however, I'm so glad that Jesus continues, because here's the reality. Some of us who follow Jesus and we try to follow the certain way of living that Jesus set out, some of us, we get a little arrogant about it. We get a little arrogant about it, and we kind of look down on people who don't follow Jesus and don't adhere to that same morality that we do. So listen to what Jesus says, though, in verse 25. He says, they hated me without reason. Some of us, if we're really, really honest, are giving people a reason to hate us. Let's be honest. So what I want to say is following Jesus is not an excuse to act like a jerk. It's not. Let me tell you a story to illustrate what I mean. When I was in high school, we had a young man move to our community, and he was very vocal about being a follower of Jesus. But unfortunately, the way that he was vocal about it was to constantly be belittling people for the ways that they were behaving, for the things that they were doing, constantly looking down on people, calling people names, insulting them, because they didn't adhere to his sense of morality. Now, I had grown up with these same kids since I was 8. And these kids said to me, like, I thought you go to church and you do that following Jesus thing too. Like, how come you don't treat us like this guy is treating us? I said, well, because the way he's treating you doesn't line up with my understanding of how Jesus treated people. And so for me, there's a bit of a disconnect, and that's why I don't act that way. But I have to admit, it was very, very uncomfortable and disturbing to me as a follower of Jesus to be lumped in with this idea then that followers of Jesus are kind of jerks. They look down on people, they judge people. And sometimes we've earned that. If we're honest, we've earned that. And so what I want to say is if you have used following Jesus as an excuse to look down on people, as an excuse to belittle people, you need to repent of that. Because that's not in line with Jesus. I mean, you look at how Jesus treated people who were broken people, who were living in sin. You look at examples from the Bible. I mean, you look at the woman at the well. who had had several husbands and was now living with a man who wasn't her husband. Jesus didn't belittle her and say, man, what are you thinking? That is so foolish of you. I mean, you need to get your act together, smarten up. That's not how Jesus talked to her. He was so loving and kind and compassionate to her and just engaged with her in dialogue. And eventually, she, on her own accord, as she interacted with Jesus, sensed the love he had for her, and she repented herself, and she went and was telling everyone and all around that she could, that would listen to her, you got to come meet this guy, Jesus. I mean, you look at the woman in adultery who was brought to Jesus, and they're all like, hey, Jesus, come on, let's stone her. Let's do this. Let's kill her. And Jesus is like, all right, first one of you that has never done anything wrong, you throw the first rock. And they're like, well, okay, this is awkward, Jesus. We're out of here. And Jesus says, oh, did none of them condemn you? No. Okay, then neither do I. Go and don't sin anymore. Don't stay stuck in your brokenness, he tells her. This is how Jesus handled people who were broken, hurt people. Broken, hurt people love Jesus. They would come from all around to hear him, to be near him. And so as followers of Jesus, we should behave in the same manner that Jesus did, not by being condescending jerks to people who don't follow him. That's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, they hated me with no reason. So if you're being looked down upon simply because you're following Jesus in the way that was prescribed, then yes, you're sharing with Jesus in his sufferings. But if you're like this guy that I was talking about, that you're just being a condescending jerk, you're suffering because you're being a condescending jerk. That's the reality. So, what does this all mean then? And where do we go from here? How do we apply this to our own lives? Well, I want to start by simply saying this to you, that I dare you to be different. I dare you to live differently. If I was teaching this at junior high level, I might say, I double dog dare you to be different. And as we all know, you cannot turn down a double dog dare, am I right? So, I dare you to be different. I dare you to live differently, because here's the reality. Here's the reality that I've seen and at times in my life have participated in. What is very, very tempting to do is to come here on a Sunday morning, to stand up, maybe we even raise our hands and praise God and all that, And we politely listen to whatever the pastor has to say. And then we go out on Monday morning and we put on our mask so that we blend in and look like everybody else in the world. And we don't live any differently. We don't act any differently. We look like everybody else in the culture. And so, I'm just saying, we are meant to be different. There are cases where we can't jump in with what the culture is jumping in on because it doesn't line up with God's kingdom values. And so I dare you to be different. I dare you to live generously the way Jesus said, generously in ways that blow people's mind and say, why would you do that? I dare you to live with hospitality. The early church was full of hospitality, people sharing meals with one another, people enjoying being in each other's company. I dare you to show just this amazing hospitality towards others. I dare you to stand up for injustice when you see injustice in the world. I dare you to stand up and say, this is not okay that people are being treated like this. This is not okay that humans are being trafficked like they're a product. Things like that. That's not okay. Stand up against that. Stand up for mercy. Be merciful to people, to those around you. Show just so much grace and kindness and love to people. This is what Jesus called us to. Don't engage in behaviors that you know just lead to further brokenness. Lying and cheating and stealing and the works. Don't engage in behavior that leads to brokenness. But instead, live differently. Live with your values lining up with the values of the kingdom of heaven, because that is where you are a true citizen of. Yes, we all might be living in Prince George in Canada, but that's not where our allegiance lies. I mean, as much as I love this country and this city, my true allegiance doesn't lie there. It lies in the kingdom of heaven. And so live differently. Be different. And so this morning, that's what I want to say to you, because if we look at history, if we look at the followers of Jesus of that day that Jesus spoke these words to, what happened with them? Yeah, I told you that they went on and they were persecuted and some of them were killed for their faith. But you know what they also did? They also flipped the entire Roman Empire on its head. I mean, they went from this small handful of people who could fit in one room. We see that in Acts. They fit all in one room. It said they were all in one room praying. And then the Holy Spirit comes upon them, and they start living in radically different ways. And it's so contagious that there are literally just thousands of people being regularly added to their group of followers of Jesus. And before long, we see down the road that the Roman Empire, as the Roman emperor is thinking to himself, man, if only there were something I could think of to unite the empire, something to bring all these different cultures together. You know what? There seems to be Christians throughout the empire. That's what I'll do. I'll make Christianity the religion of the Roman Empire. I mean, that's crazy. They just went from a group of people who were being persecuted, told they were crazy, told that you can't live with this. I mean, Caesar's God, everybody knows that. To a group of people that had flipped the world on its head so much so that the emperor said, well, if you can't beat them, join them, I guess. And so I really, really think that if we are willing, by the power of the Spirit, to live lives that look different, that God can use us to flip this city, to turn this city upside down for Jesus. And that we can see many people coming to say yes to Jesus and becoming followers of Jesus themselves. And so my challenge is, are we willing to do that? Are we willing to step out in faith and live differently, live generously, care for people, love for people, be different? Because if we are, I think God has incredible things in store for us as a church. As the worship team comes, I just want to pray for you and pray that God, through the power of His Holy Spirit, would enable us to live these kind of lives where we live differently. Let's pray together. God, thank you so much that you were willing to come and die for us. And thank you that you gave us your Spirit to live in us, God, to empower us, because living different is not easy. And so, God, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would empower us with the strength and courage we need to live the way that you have called us to live, God. And I pray that as we do that, God, that you would provide opportunities to share who you are with people. And I pray that we would see many people come to know you and to be in relationship with you and to follow you, Jesus. And so just strengthen us, empower us, give us the boldness we need to follow you with all of our hearts and for our values to line up with your kingdom values, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.